Pastor John and his family are away on vacation. Do you love Pastor John? Can we love on Pastor John? You'll never go wrong praying for our pastor. Amen. He speaks into our life each and every week. A couple of months ago, he said, "Hey, Pastor Dave, I want you to help me out in this Unshakable series that we're going to be beginning." And he said, "I want you to preach on this passage of scripture right here." And so I started studying the scripture, and I was like, "Man, this is really good." And I was reading some of the notes that he had made for this scripture, and then I read some more, some theological stuff, and I was taking all of this in, and then I had this realization. This is the greatest sermon in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7 is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and I was like, that little stinker. He has given me an assignment to preach, concluding what Christ preached. I'm like, come on, Pastor John, what are you doing to me? I don't get up here and do this every week, but I'm going to give it my all today. Can you pray for me as while I'm up here? I think the Lord has really given me something to talk to you about today. And if you can hang on and hang with me, I think you're going to be blessed by this. I think you're going to be challenged by this. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 24 through, I believe it's 27. This week, Pastor Sean is going to be teaching us about sanctification this Wednesday night. Turn to your neighbor and say, ice cream. So Pastor Sean's going to teach about sanctification, but after that, we're going to have some ice cream. Several weeks ago in staff meeting, I was like, hey, we need to have some ice cream. It's July. It's hot. We've been going through several weeks of all of these doctrinal things. It's really heavy. Let's have some ice cream. Come on. I think we need some ice cream. We deserve some ice cream on Wednesday nights. Let me challenge you. Come on out here on Wednesday night. We've really had a great time going through the Word. Last week, Pastor Martin spoke on the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a powerful time. So let's get to this verse, or a few verses here. Let's read here Matthew 7:24. Again, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, and through the rain comes in the torrents, and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house. It won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, and when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Father, we love you today. Pierce our hearts with this word today. May it change us from the inside out. Lord, may we see a revelation of what your word gives us today, Father. May we proclaim it this week. In your mighty name we pray, amen. Again, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is preaching to thousands of people. It's three chapters in Matthew. Matthew is the witness of all of this to us and brings us this word. And Jesus is preaching to us as citizens of the kingdom of God. That's you. That's me. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. And in this message that he preaches on in three chapters throughout this, he tells us about righteousness. We're supposed to live this life as citizens of the kingdom of God in holiness, that we are to be in prayer to a God who is the one true God, that we're not supposed to worry, that we're supposed to show forgiveness, And that we should walk this life trusting God Almighty, the Father. And then he ends with one question for us today. What are you going to do with all of these things that I have just spoken to you about? Most people think that this passage of Scripture is about storms. It's not. Most people might think that it's about two houses. It's not about the houses. Jesus, in this passage, is talking about foundations. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, foundations. Foundations. The difference between people who stand and people who fall isn't the storm that they face. It's about the foundations that have been built in their lives. Point number one. How many know storms are inevitable in our lives? They're going to come. Notice what Jesus says in this passage here. He says that the rain came. The floodwaters rose. The winds blew. Never in that passage did he say, they might come. Never in that passage did he say, eh, they could come. No, they came on both houses. The wise builder experienced the same storm as the foolish builder. Storms don't discriminate against us. Peter. How many have heard of this man named Simon Peter? He's a character in the Bible. He's a real live person that happened in ancient church. And he was there amongst Jesus's teaching. He followed Jesus. The thing about Peter is that I noticed as I studied a little bit about him is there's three significant storms that Peter faced in his time. There were two occurrences in the storms that Peter faced on the Sea of Galilee. There were two times he was sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. The first time the occurrence happened where he was sitting there in the boat and a storm arose on this Sea of Galilee. There was the other disciples with him. And where was Jesus? In the bow of the boat. He was sleeping. He was not even concerned about the storm that was coming over them. And the disciples, they got a little panicky. They freaked out a little bit and they woke up Jesus. You ever been woken up from a nap? Nobody likes to be woken up from a nap. I'm trying to do something here. Jesus had been preaching all day long. He was tired. He was laying in the boat. He was sleeping. And Peter was facing a storm. A physical storm had come over that Sea of Galilee. The next occurrence in the Bible that it tells us about, another time where there again, there the disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been preaching that day and he said, you guys go on over to the other side. I'm going to pray right now. I'll meet you over there later. The guys are off and they're going across the Sea of Galilee and they're in their boat and here comes another storm. You think they would get used to this, right? Well, they begin to panic. And I can only imagine that it was dark. The rains were going on. There was maybe some lightning. And all of the sudden, these disciples seen perhaps what appeared to be a ghost walking on the water. Here comes Jesus just strolling along in the midst of the storm. And Peter realizes it's Jesus. And he calls out, it is Jesus coming across this water. If it is you, Jesus, bid me to come to you. And he hops out of the boat. This past week, the staff and I and Pastor John, we all went on a little retreat up to Tahlequah and we were on these little rafts and we were going down the stream and the water was kind of high in some spots and it was deep. Pastor Sean decides that he's going to jump out of the boat. And then he tried to get back in the boat. You ever try to get in a boat from the water? Well, it wasn't pretty either. He looked like a whale. Forgive me, Pastor Sean. He was flapping all around. But there's Peter. And he begins to step out of the boat and he's walking on the water. Got his eyes focused in on Jesus. It wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And you know what he did next. He took his eyes off of the Lord. Perhaps he might have said to himself, look at what I'm doing. Isn't this cool? And bloop, 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 he started sinking. You'd think he would have figured it out the first time they were in that boat. You remember that it was Jesus who was woken up. And what did he do? He said, shh, to the wind. He said, shh, to the waves. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was also in staff meeting, and Pastor Martin was giving Megan a hard time. Megan goes, shh. Martin goes, don't shh me. It's not in my notes, Megan. You'll have to forgive me. Peter should have saw that it was Jesus who went shh to the winds and the waves. Keep your eyes on him. Peter, what are you doing? There's another storm. Perhaps it's a little bit different storm that Peter went through. It was the night that our Lord and Savior was taken into custody. Peter was there. He saw that. Later on, the word tells us that Peter was in a courtyard, Herod's courtyard. And he was there and he saw Jesus in custody. And there was this little girl that came over to Peter and she pointed him out, said, you're one of those disciples. Peter had a realization. He saw Jesus, perhaps in handcuffs, and the guards were guarding him and taking him into custody. And this little girl was pointing him out. The overwhelming fear of what might happen to Peter happened in that moment. The pressure about what happened in that moment. And thus, he was overcome and said, I don't know him. For 3 years, he had been with him. The fear, the overcoming, this storm of this pressure, those three storms that Peter went through were about one disciple. Following Jesus doesn't exempt us from storms of life. Don't misunderstand that. Following Jesus doesn't exempt us from the storms. I believe that it prepares us for the storm. The next storm. Storms don't build foundations, church. Foundations are built by spending time with the Lord. Point number two. Foundations are built before the storm ever arrives. You see, storms are built, or foundations are built because you are here in this place. Foundations are built because you come down and you kneel at the altar. Foundations are built because somebody else comes and prays with you at the altar. Foundations are built on Wednesday nights. Did you know that? Foundations are built on Wednesday night when you send your students back to the youth room. Pastor Mark gets to speak to them. Foundations are built early in the morning when you crack open the Word and say, speak to me, Lord, today. We all get busy. But find time to build some foundations in our lives. Foundations are built when you have a repentant heart. Foundations are built at the moment in time when you say, I trust you, Lord. Foundations are built when you surrender to His will, not yours, to His will. Not during the crisis. Foundations aren't built during the storms. Long before the crisis, long before the storms, the foundations are built. Where was Peter at when foundations were being built in his life? How about in the time when Jesus was walking down the street? Peter was there, other disciples were there. The street was busy, there was all kinds of people around him. And Jesus is walking, Peter's there, other disciples are all around. And this little lady reaches out and touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Jesus turns around. What just happened? He felt the healing, the anointing come out of him. And that little lady was healed. Jesus healed another lady simply by her faith. She knew it. She had heard about it. Peter was there too, laying the foundation of his faith, seeing the possibility of what Christ can do. How about in the moment where they're all in this little house, Jesus is talking to all of these people, and all of a sudden the ceiling starts crumbling. A hole begins to come through the roof. What is going on? And all of a sudden, this man is brought down in the midst of this house. Peter was there. His faith was being built right there. Jesus looks up at the men who has suspended this lame man down into this house. Your faith caused this man to walk again. Peter was there. Peter was also there the night before Jesus was crucified. Do you remember? Jesus breaking the bread, serving the vine. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you, Peter. And a few verses later, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me one day. Oh, no, Lord. If everyone else denies you, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Jesus tried to tell him. Have you ever had a moment in time where Jesus is trying to speak something to you? Perhaps deep down inside, you're denying what he's trying to communicate to you. I love the fact that the word tells us that the Lord speaks to us in a still, small voice. You know why? Do you know why he talks to you in a still, small voice? It's because he's near. Because he's close to you. You can't hear him. He's not going to yell at you. He's a gentleman. He's going to whisper in that still, small voice. And there he is with Peter. You are. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Long before the courtyard experience with this little girl, Peter knew that he might deny the Christ. Sometimes foundations are laid in our lives in the moments in which we are being ministered to by the Lord and he's trying to correct us. Storms reveal foundations. They don't create them. Point number three. God bless you. What you build on determines what stands. In Jesus' words, in this passage of Scripture, he doesn't talk about the unbeliever or the believer. He doesn't compare those two. He compares two people that have heard what the Lord has spoken to him. Both have heard. The difference between the two people is obedience. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, it's obedience. It's obedience. The difference is the obedience, what you have heard, the word that you have heard. What are you going to do with that word? What is your heart going to do, and how is your heart going to obey what you have heard the Lord tell you? Not about the information. It's about what you act at. Peter, before the resurrection, remember I said, Peter said, oh no, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not, everybody else might do it, but I'm not. Peter trusted in his own strength. Peter trusted in his own courage. Peter trusted in his own steps. And where did that get him? And as he sank down, he realized, I can't do this on my own. When Jesus warned Peter, you're going to deny me, Peter confidently replied, even if everyone else fails, I won't. Have you been there? Lord, I'm not going to fail you. I don't have really this problem with this addiction that I have. I don't, Lord. It's because of this and it's because of that, and you put the blame everywhere else. I'm sorry, church, but at the end of the day, it's up to you. What are you going to do with the words that the Lord is speaking to you? Holy Spirit is the one that it empowers us. The Holy Spirit is that one that taps you on the shoulder. Hey, don't do that. What about after the resurrection? We also see Peter. Do you remember what the word Peter actually means? The rock. Jesus saw something in Peter long before ever that Peter became the rock. And he named him. We're told in Scripture that every one of us will be given a new name. I'm looking forward to my new name. It is written down. Jesus restored Peter, reminding him that his future wouldn't be built on self-confidence, but on Christ and Christ's restoration grace. It is that that restores us. Peter learned that his strength would never be enough. Your strength is not enough, church. Jesus was all that he needed. That Holy Spirit that came. Do you remember that Jesus left this earth? There the disciples were watching him go up. And eventually they couldn't see him any longer. I can only imagine that their conversation was like, what do we do now? What do we do now? The guy who walked on water, that healed all of these people, that spoke all of these amazing things, what do we do now? I'm not sure, but I bet it was probably Peter that said, let's go get back in the boat and go fishing. Because that's what we know how to do. Then they remembered. He said, go and spend some time in prayer in the upper room. How many people were in the upper room? Do you remember? 120. If Scripture is correct in what it told us previously, that Jesus had preached to 5,000 men, where were the 5,000? 120. I believe that those 120 were the beginnings of the church that we attend today. that set the world on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit that came and anointed them. They were speaking in other tongues, in other languages, and it set the world on fire. And Peter truly stepped up and became the rock of this church. Acts 4 proves it. The same Peter who denied Jesus before a servant girl, before a little girl, this rock that he was to become denied Christ to a little girl. Acts 4 tells us that this same Peter, after receiving the Holy Spirit, stood in the same courtroom 50 days later before the same Sanhedrin that had crucified our Lord and Savior. There Peter was standing, being judged by the same court. What did Peter do? He said, I knew him. I knew who Jesus was. He proclaimed the name of Christ without any fear, without any doubt. He knew that same Peter had a different foundation that day. He no longer trusted in himself. He trusted in the one who is more than able, our Lord and Savior. Emboldened by the Spirit of God, changed forever by the Holy Spirit. A few months ago, I was sitting in a dental office at the Veterans Administration Hospital downtown Oklahoma City. It was my first appointment. I retired back in 2024, and I was sitting in that dental chair, and the dentist began to examine my teeth. Let me just tell you, I've heard rumors about the VA hospital, and from my experience, it is the best healthcare I have ever had in my life. I sit in that chair. You know, your teeth are numbered. The dentist is looking at each and every one of my teeth and examining very thoroughly each and every one of my teeth. He's telling the nurse there to document the condition of every one of my teeth. Then he goes back and he examines the gum before and after each one of those teeth. And he did commend me on taking care of my teeth. He said, I can tell you floss. I can tell you you use a water pick. I can tell you brush regularly. You're doing a really good job. And then he pulls out my tongue and starts asking questions, right? But during that examination, he starts looking at one side of my tongue, and then he flips over the other side, and then he goes back and forth several times. And I'm like, what is going on? And then he makes this noise. That's not good. Mr. Morris, you take very good care of your teeth. It looks really good. I'm proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a really great job. But, I'm concerned, Mr. Morris, about a little spot underneath your tongue. I'm concerned what this is. And this is on a Friday. But Sunday's coming. And he says, I'm very concerned. I'm going to need to get you an appointment with an oral surgeon. And you're going to need to see him pretty quickly. Have you ever smoked? Have you ever dipped? Have you done all these things and asked all of these questions? No? No, when I was 16, hey, don't listen to this part. When I was 16, I smoked a half a cigarette and realized it is not for me. What do I do with what you've just told me? The storm has come in my own life. clouds are building. There's lightning off in the distance. I can feel the ground shaking underneath me. I go home. I don't tell anybody. Friday goes over and Saturday comes. There's this little blue-eyed lady that I married 32 years ago. And I tell her, hey, you know, I went to the dentist on Friday. And she's like, yeah. And I said, I'm going to have to go see an oral surgeon on Monday. And as I was telling her, she was kind of doing things. You ever tell your spouse something and they're busy doing things? And, you know, I'm thinking the whole time I'm telling her, you know, I'm kind of shaking a little bit. And I'm expecting her to kind of just, you know, she didn't even skip a beat. She just said, don't worry about it. God's got this. Church, Christ's legacy has this purpose statement. And every time I say it, I can live it. We find God. We give hope. And we do life together. You need people around you that have rock solid foundation. Because in the midst of the storm, what are you going to do? I need to get back to my message. Monday comes. God's got this. Oral surgeon comes in. I sit down. What's going on? He asked me several questions. Pulls out the goss. Pulls my tongue out further than it's ever been extended in my life. He looks at it several times, flips it over and back and forth. He says, I need to go talk to the dentist. I'll be right back. Thank you. This is even getting worse. The dentist comes back. The oral surgeon's on this side. The dentist is here, and they're like right here. You ever had two men's faces like right here? They got lights on their heads. They got glasses. It's weird. The dentist grabs another piece of gauze and he pulls my tongue out and does it again. And he says these words, it's not there. It's not there. He looks at the oral surgeon, I'm sorry, I don't know why I called you. It's not there. I don't know who this is for today. It's probably you. But God's got this. But I'm telling you, foundations are not built when the storm is there. Foundations are built when you're here, when you're listening to the word, when you're coming to discipleship, when your heart is repentant, when you're spending time with those who are like-minded in your faith. Church, you need a solid foundation. Matthew 27:24 tells us that those storms are gonna come to all of us. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Be wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. I got three questions I want to ask you today. What foundation are you building? What foundation are you building? Number two, what daily habits am I laying before the storm ever comes? Because it's coming. If the storm came this week, what would it reveal? I just told you, storms reveal foundations. Why is this faith that we have? Why is this faith so important? On that night, that Jesus says, you're going to deny me. It says in that scripture right there, it says, the enemy is coming to sift you like wheat. You ever been sifted like wheat? You ever been turned upside down? You ever had your tongue extended way out too far? Church, I want to encourage you. There is an enemy of our soul, and he has come to sift you like wheat. Be ready. Be ready for the sifting. Some of us are already in a storm. Some of us know what the storm feels like. Some of us are coming out of a storm, and we know, and we're trying to recover from a storm. Some of us are seeing clouds building in the distance. But today's not about predicting storms. It's about deciding what we're gonna do to build on before the storm ever comes. Jesus is not inviting us to admire his stories. Jesus is inviting us to build our lives upon his word. Friday, I was up here studying for this message. It was about 6 o'clock at night. Periodically, as Pastor Brooks knows, sometimes you get a phone call late at night at church. I picked the phone up here, and on the other end of that phone was a hysterical lady who was being sifted like wheat. She was so hysterical. Her question to me was, can someone pray for me? I said, I will. Can you tell me what's going on? She's having relationship problems. And she repeatedly said these words, I'm the one that everyone comes to when life is going wrong. I'm the one that people call. I can't believe I am so hysterical in this moment. Pray for Sophia. Will you pray for Sophia? Sophia's going through a storm. Perhaps you have said those words, I'm the one that will never deny you, Lord. I'm the one that other people come to. What is your world when it's like when a storm comes to you? Have you built the foundation? Have you prepared it? God is more concerned with building our foundation than removing the storm. Let that sink in for a moment. God's not so much concerned about removing the storm. He's more concerned about building a foundation within your life. Pastor Sean, can you come up? With every head bowed, with every eye closed today, you're sitting out in this audience and you're saying, I don't know all that you're talking about, but I can feel something burning deep within me. I haven't been obedient in everything that the Lord has given to me. I don't know what's going on. But something's going on inside of my heart and in my mind. Perhaps you don't know this Jesus that I talked about today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just lift up your hand. I'd like to pray with you. I'm not going to call you down front, but I want to know. Looking all around this room today, see that. Thank you. Just an uplifted hand saying, I want to know more about this Jesus. I'm taking the first step of faith towards Jesus. I'm jumping out of the boat to see because I know today Jesus still walks on water for me. Perhaps you're in the midst of a storm and you'd say, Pastor Dave, would you pray for me today? I need some peace in my heart and in my mind today. I see those. Yes, thank you. 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 Father, we love you today. Some people have decided to follow the Lord today. We thank you for those two individuals, Lord, that they have committed their lives to you. Lord, they've taken the first step of many steps towards sanctification, towards a life that is built upon the rock of our foundation. Father, we ask that you'd give some peace in the people's lives that are going through a storm. Lord, that you would cover them. Lord, that you would give your sovereign hand upon their lives today, that you would touch them in a magnificent way. Father, that they have stepped out in faith, that you would cover them. Just like Peter, who stepped out into the water and began to sink, and the Lord lifted him up. We ask that you lift them up, bring them back to you, continue to add another layer to their foundation today. And we ask all of these things in your mighty, most precious name, we pray. Amen and amen.